What does that sound, you ask?
Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Kick back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
Starting the show today, we are starting it off with the one and only Sarah the Instrumentalist. Name of this track is called True Authentic Self. I hope y'all are counting your blessings and not your problems, man. The name of the album that this track is on is called The Universe is Watching. That's fire, yo. I'm gonna leave a link in the description of the show, man, so y'all can tap into Sarah Too Ill, aka Sarah the Instrumentalist, man. Stay doing her thing. She got accepted to the 1500 and nothing Sound Academy, man. So she been learning about Ableton. Yes, I'm following Sarah Too Ill. Yes, I learned from Sarah Too Ill. You should too. Tap into the YouTube, tap into the Twitches, all that stuff, man. We'll be back. Peace and love, yo. Yeah. Welcome to episode 104. Check 1-2. Peace and love, everybody. Golden Mind here for the Retro Podcast, man. Welcome to episode 104. That's crazy to say still, man. But yo, episode 104, we here. Yo, check out as my reminder goes off. So listen, last week we had the one and only Lord Stan, you know what I mean, Harlem, New York. So I need y'all to tap into that episode. That episode was super fun, man. Super laid back. Got a lot of jewels out of that episode. That was episode number 103. Now, 102 was Fucci. So I need you to tap into the episode with Fucci, a Florida-based beatmaker. Been killing the retro gamer, all that type of stuff as well. Yo, man, we doing some amazing stuff on this podcast, man. So if you get any benefit or any enjoyment and, you know, it hits your heartstrings to donate, yo, we always take a donation because I'm still doing my drive for a new computer. I'm operating off of 2010, so I'm trying to get a 2023, you know, just to keep me updated. But, yo, today we are going to Sacramento, California, man. This guest, this mutant, I've been a fan of for a couple years now, listening to his music, listening to the different variations of styles and stuff like that. He's a Flip a Beat Club beat maker, live performer. He's a DJ for the Midday Mix with Drive the Hearse. That's also from Sacramento, California. Specializes in like drum and bass, glitch hop, hip hop, electronic. Probably some other ones that, you know what I mean, that we probably don't know of, but we're going to learn about it soon. He was recently featured on a Microchop, which is a newsletter dissecting beat making, DJing, music production, rapping, and sampling, but it's curated by Gino Sorenselli. I hope I said that right, Gino. My bad if I didn't. But he co-hosts Blips and Beats, which is an event that merges video games with music with the incomparable DiBiase, the Slapmaster General himself. And then the video game samples, like he curates the video game samples for beat makers and that can like chop them, flip them. And then they get played in front of the crowd all while inside of this retro gaming location in Sacramento. So yeah, we definitely going to talk about that. We got to get the word out for that. He somewhere created a release for 37 albums. Man, my guy's got 37 album singles. All of them on Bandcamp, all of them on SoundCloud. He's an artist, you know what I mean? He's a singer, man. He's like, he's got lyrics, he's all of that, man. So, yo, without further ado, I want y'all to welcome the one and only Ultra Boy to the show. Ultra Boy, what's good, man?
Man, thank you. That was a long intro, but I appreciate it. You didn't forget nothing. You got my whole resume in front of you.
Hey, listen, I gotta. My mama said, "Come correct or don't come at all." Yo, so I gotta come correct, man. But yo,
I appreciate it, man. I love the show. I'm a big fan of the Rec Show, so I'm just happy to be chopping it up with you, man.
Absolutely, man. I've been a fan of yours as well, man. So the feeling's mutual. We finally got to get to chop it up, man. So let's go into the very first question, man, because it's an honor for you to be for us to have you on the show. For the beat heads that may not know, I gave them just a little bit, but maybe I forgot some things that you know that you have. Can you introduce yourself and you know how you even came up with your name? You know what your name means, and then any affiliations you might be a part of as well.
Yeah, man, for sure. So I'm Ultra Boy. Obviously, I live in Sacramento, California. I'm a part of Flip a Beat Club out here in Sacramento. Done a bunch of events here in Sac, some in the Bay, stuff like that. I host the Midday Mix every Thursday at 12's Wax with Drive the Hearse. Yeah, I do co-host Blips and Beats. I'm a part of a lot of the events that get put on through Flip a Beat Club in Sacramento. I just recently was a student, tutor, I guess, guest presenter, lecturer for Sample Mode at UC Berkeley. Big shout out to Nasira Nelson and DiBiase for getting me on that. I've been making beats for a long time, almost 10 years. I put my first beat tape out in like 2015, I think. So a long time. I've been through a few different names. I started out when I was making beats. Originally, I went by VV005, which has zero SEO. You cannot search that online. So I had to change that. But I got Ultra Boy from, the old Japanese series Ultraman. There's like a TV show. There's a manga. There's an anime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on Netflix, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of different like versions of it. I have some old like Ultraman manga and stuff, but there's one episode of like an older Ultraman anime with an Ultra Boy character. He's in like literally one episode, and I just like I love that name, so I stole the name from that, and I've been going by that since like 2016, 2017.
Wow. Man, that is a dope anime, by the way. Like I watched it on Netflix, and maybe that was the updated one. It wasn't the older one.
The newer one, I think the Netflix one is the newer one, which is super cool. The old one is like very I gotta look. I think it's an 80s anime, and it definitely has that like feel to it, but it's a lot of fun. It's like kind of campy and fun. 1979 to 1980, so it's it's a classic,
man. So okay, yeah, Ultra Boy, man. I can't believe I forgot Sample Mode. Man, I'm tripping. But yes.
That was Sample Mode was amazing, man. That was such a cool experience. I'm so glad I got to be a part of that. We did a performance at Bandcamp headquarters in Oakland for the end of it and for some of the students' like final project for the compilation.
Yeah, because I had the compilation. And so I'm like, damn, I can't believe I forgot that part. But yo, like, because that's some important community work that's happening right there at UC Berkeley. with you know, DiBiase, you, and then it's also his wife.
Yeah, Nasira.
Nasira.
Nas Roxwell.
Nas Roxwell. Okay, we could chop it up with in a little bit, but okay, so that's the intro, man. That's you in a nutshell. And still evolving, man. You've done a lot so far, man. Like in the last, since you said 2015, it's 2023. So what, 8 years you've been doing?
Yeah, and that's just, I mean, that's just when I started making beats. I've been in bands and making music since I was like, I don't know, maybe 13, and I'm 25 now. So,
wow. So here's my next question. How did you even get into, wanting to produce music, wanting to create music?
So right after high school, I had already been like, cause I was in bands and stuff. Like I said, I went to a concert with some friends when I was a teenager, and I just like had such a good time that I bought a bass the next day and like learned, I like taught myself how to play bass because I just had such a good time at the show. And so I was in like a few bands and stuff, and I recorded a couple albums with some bands, and I had this project Wolf with my friends Callum and Kyle, and I have actually a whole album of stuff recorded for that band that I just like, I've just kind of been sitting on. They like moved away after we recorded it, and I wanted to do some shows, so you know, maybe one day that'll surface. But yeah, when they moved away, I started kind of getting into like producing a little bit in Audacity, because you know, it's free. So I was like, yeah, why not? You know, I'll try out some different stuff because I don't have a band right now. And then right after high school, I went to Japan for a month by myself. And the whole time I was there, I found, like, through Bandcamp, I found Knowledge, I found DiBiase. I found this guy, he was going by PictoChat at the time, but he goes by Pax now. He has a release on Paxico Records. All the people on like Fuzzoscope in San Francisco, I was like listening to all of that music. And so when I came back home, I had $500 left, and I spent 400 of it on an SP-404 SX, and I just started making beats and never looked back.
Wow. That's an investment in yourself. Right.
Exactly.
You know, because, okay, so me, I just came from Japan, Tokyo. Oh, so I wanted to ask you, because I saw that as well. What was that experience like for you, being in Japan and mingling with all these different creatives and stuff like that?
Man, it was so cool. I mean, like I said, I was like getting into, you know, all that music that I hadn't really discovered before. I've always been a hip hop fan, like ever since I was a little kid, but this was like the first time I was really getting into beats and stuff. And I was going to all these stores and like talking to people about like music equipment. I was working at a coffee shop at the time, and so I went to like all these crazy like cafes, and of course you like meet artists and people like that in cafes generally. But I went to some really cool shows and like met a bunch of people that were just super passionate, and it was like, I don't know, man, it was amazing. And I was by myself, and I bought the ticket like a year ahead of time. So I spent the year leading up to the trip, like learning as much Japanese as I could. So I spoke like very minimal English while I was out there, which was cool. And I had a friend of mine whose cousin owned a hotel in Hokkaido in the north. And he let me stay there for a few nights for free. And he like took me out into the mountains. He took me to this hot spring. They made like fresh soba noodles every day at the hotel. It was amazing, man. I think about it all the time. I'd love to go back someday.
Karimas. So, yo, man, Japan is a different experience, man. Like, I like going to see the different things and experiencing that culture. That's one of the highlights of me just traveling around the different places in the world, man. So, like, what's that one thing that you still hold near and dear that you probably picked up from just being in the culture?
Oh, dude, it's hard to pick one thing. I went to see this band. They're called Super VHS. And they have like, I don't know, they have a couple like songs out on, I think, just SoundCloud. I don't know if they're even streaming anywhere. But I was talking to the drummer after the show, and we were just like, I don't know, man. We were just talking about like the importance of creating and like, you know, just fully devoting yourself to that like creative side, even if it's not going to be, you know, your job, or it's not going to be the main thing that you do in your life. Like it's something that's important to like always carry with you. And that was like a cool, like cross-cultural thing. Like, you know, artists are everywhere, whether they're, you know, they live in the same city as you or a different country or whatever. It was just like a really cool, like, yeah, I'll never forget talking to him about just like being passionate.
Can you give us that, like when he was talking about being passionate, like what went into that?
He was telling me, so they had been in this band for like 3 years already. I think they're still making music, and he had some like corporate job that he didn't really care about, at least at the time when I was there talking to him. And he was like, you know, I get through it because I'm just like waiting to go practice, and I'm waiting to go do another show, and I'm like waiting to record. And he's like, you know, it makes it all like it gave him like the push to just like keep going, because he knew he was always going to have that to like come and, you know, create and get back to that. And I was like, yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Yo, also, that's amazing that you picked up that jewel, man. I mean, probably countless jewels while you were there. So I'll never forget that experience. But yo, let's bring it back a little bit. Let's backtrack into Ultra Boy's music journey, music history, man. So when you were growing up, who was playing the different types of music that like kind of influenced you or still influences you to this day?
Man, I mean, funny enough, my mom always had, she would make like mix CDs that she would put on in the car that had like all the early 2000s like popular songs. Like there was some what's that, like, you know, Jimmy Eat World and like all those early like rock bands and stuff. But there was also like Eminem and 50 Cent and like clean versions of like the G-Unit stuff. And like that was like what I was listening to when I was like less than 10 years old, and I just like loved it. I had the clean versions of all those songs memorized. And I used to like go to like after school, I would go to the gym that my mom worked at and like just kind of wait around. There were like a couple other kids there usually. And so like, you know, whatever was popular on the speakers there was like always something I took with me. But I was like so into like 50 Cent, Dr. Dre, and like Lil Wayne and Eminem when I was a kid, because I was born in 97. So I was like growing up in the 2000s, and that was like major part. But you know, a lot of early like weird indie stuff too. Like I love like Postal Service and like Wilco and like those types of acts too. So that was like always really influential in the stuff I liked.
Wow. You know, moms is making mixtapes. That's yeah. Crazy. Yeah, that's
we had so many. I had like all the songs on every CD memorized. She had like five or six different like mixes that we would listen to in the car. And I was like, Mom, put on track 7 on this one.
Wow. Wow. Shout out to moms, man. Yeah.
For real.
You know what I mean? Like just putting you on in all these different types of music, man. So she's feeding your music palette.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. And then you're growing up. And then you're going to school, the kids are listening to the same type of music, I guess.
Yeah, there was like there was a pretty good spread for sure. But a lot of it was like the same kind. And then I got some of the more like, you know, the 2000s pop stuff that like, I mean, I still like that stuff is super catchy. I'm not going to hate on that. But, you know, definitely more of like the, you know, the NSYNC and like that type of act too.
Hey, and that's. Those albums, those songs are still classic, man.
So yeah, they
come on the radio. We still say bye, bye, bye. We still bumping it on him.
Yeah, I love me some Boys to Men. You know, there's nothing right. Wrong with that.
You know, you riding around with moms with the mix CDs. You know, listening to the music that she likes, mixed with, you know, some of the new pop culture music and stuff like that. But then you move, and then you get older, and you start you know, your own music journey and what you like. Was that the same type of music, or did it switch to, you know, the different like drum and bass, or, you know, footwork, or, you know, other, all these different other types of genres of music?
Yeah, I really like, once I had access to, like, you know, the internet on my own, and like once I was able to kind of like have, you know, I never had an iPod until like late middle school or something like that. But I had like a Walkman, and I would like save up money for CDs from time to time. I had a PSP in like 2006, and you could get on the internet on there and like listen to music. And so I got super into like, I was into a little bit of everything for sure, but I got really into some more of like the indie rock stuff. I got really into like Euro, like dance music, like unironically, I loved Aqua. I know they like are coming back into the zeitgeist a little bit because of the Barbie movie, but I loved that type of music back in the day. I don't know what was like so appealing, but I got into that. I got into like, you know, your Green Day, but then also like 3-6 Mafia and like stuff like that. Like that was my jam for sure. And I just kind of like, you know, through the power of the internet, like dug more and more and more. I'm like, these are such crazy reference points I'm pulling out right now, but that's what I remember of like that time. Those are the most impactful. And then it just like, yeah, grew from there. And like Gorillaz was a huge one too. I found out about MF Doom because of that Gorillaz song that he's on Demon Days. And so then I like, you know, get into Doom and all that stuff. And it just like, it goes and goes and goes from there. As soon as you get access to the internet, like it's over.
Right. Cause it's a big ass rabbit hole. You know?
Yeah.
Like, cause you could just search for hours and days, just digging through so much information to like, and the stuff that you probably never knew. So research is actually good. I mean, the internet, for that part is pretty good for us as far as trying to obtain information for different things and stuff like that. But I don't know, man, it's a little wonky right now on the internet. So, but
yeah,
that's a different story though. But
but it was cool to like be able to kind of just explore that stuff on my own. And like, I got really into some like different rock type of stuff too. Like I was a huge White Stripes fan. I was a big like anything Jack White was doing. Like I got into all his side projects, and I wanted to play guitar like that. And that was like, I think part of what drew me in when I was like ready to start being in bands and stuff. I was like, okay, I'm gonna be like a front man like that, or like James Murphy from LCD Sound System, because I was super into them and I still am. And that's like, that was definitely like the image that I was like, yeah, I want to be somebody like that.
So you had those like superheroes, like in your eyes, those were your superheroes as far as like when it comes to music creation and artistic expression.
At least, you know, when I was like a kid or early teenager, like that's what I really aspired to be.
Nice, man. You know, internet, yo. We here with Ultra Boy right now, man. He giving y'all jewels already. All right. So, you know what I mean? The main thing I'm taking away right now is, yo, like once you get something and it's joyful, like just keep going with that. You know, like keep experiencing that, keep digging for these different things. Yo, as much sampling as we do, like if you look at the notes, like, oh man, that's another rabbit hole. And who created this? Who played the guitar on this? Who played the drums on, like,
Man, it's so much. I feel like, I mean, I think on some level, like I'm still trying to do that, you know, maybe not quite as consciously as I was before, but like, I think there's always going to be a part of me that like wants to be somebody like that, or wants to like have that energy.
Man, you there, man, especially with this, I mean, especially with Dumb Mountain and like, I'm going to talk about the albums in a little bit, man. Yeah, we got to talk, definitely got to talk about them. But
yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this, man. Like, and if you're able to, what's that one beat or that one song that where, you know, once you heard it, like it just blew your mind. It was like, yo, who, Who made this? What is this? How did they make this?
Oh, I have that answer. Easy. Instantly, I have that answer. It's Herb Magic by Obliv. That's like, I heard that track. I heard it. I was like digging, looking for beats and stuff on YouTube. And there was like, I don't know if it's even still uploaded. It may have gotten taken down for copyright or something. But there's a video of Herb Magic by Obliv over like some clips from one of the old Gundam anime. And I heard that and it just like blew my mind. It's not even the most complicated like sample chop, but it's just like so well done. And I mean, I think Obliv was one of the greats. Like, he's definitely a huge influence on me and is one of my favorite producers. And I just like, yeah, I heard that and I was like, wow, like this is the kind of stuff that really hits. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, a million layers. It doesn't have to be the most complicated thing in the world, but if you can do it right and you can make it hit, like, it's, you know, that's all you really need to do. And so that track like changed my whole trajectory.
Shout out to Obliv, man. Yo, we're giving him his flowers on this show, man.
Truly.
Yeah, like I think he created spiritual. Oh man, what's the name of this album I'm thinking about? It's got the prayer hands on his there it is. Yeah. Spirit Medicine. Yeah, he came out with that in 2020, man. I was like, man, like that was another reason. And then Give Thanks, when he came out with that album.
Yeah, Give Thanks is great.
Man, so okay, shout out to Obliv, man. Yo, I got the cassette. I don't have the vinyl just because it was costing like $40 to send it over to Japan. I'm like, oh, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
So luckily I found the Obliv when I was nice. Shopping at record stores in Japan. And so,
I'm getting mixed up. I have Retrospective on vinyl.
Retrospective. Okay.
Yeah, which I think is just like kind of a compilation, like greatest hits almost kind of thing.
It's still dope, though. It's still dope, yeah. So, okay, Obliv. It's got you as that one beat. And you listening to Obliv, now you go down a rabbit hole because obviously, like, his the way he samples records and the way he chops records, like, did that influence you on how you chop your samples and stuff like that? Because your sample chops is crazy, too.
Thank you. Yeah, he's a big influence for sure. I like the way he works with stuff. I really like the style of like Doc Kim and Sam I Am and like people like that. I like that kind of style of chop. I mean, they all have their own version of it, but yeah, man, Obliv's a big influence. I think I take a lot of his like melody choice, like how to reconstruct a melody from a sample, you know what I mean? Like I think he's somebody that's really good at that, and that's definitely something I like have tried to emulate in one way or another.
So and this is a new question that I've kind of developed, man, over the last 4 days or something like that. When it comes to sampling, is there something that you need to like hear in order for it to be able to be sampled?
Not anymore. I think when I was like first starting out, I was really listening for like clips, you know what I mean? Like I tried to listen for solid like 2 or 3 second like piece that I can grab and like use that wholesale or like chop it up from there. But now I just kind of like, I don't know, I just kind of put stuff on, and if I like a song, I just like try to figure out how I can sample it regardless of like kind of the structure of it. I don't really listen for any one thing anymore. I'm just like, oh, I like this song, you know, I think it would make a cool thing to sample. I'm just gonna grab it and start chopping,
and then you just create from there. You just build your bases, all your layers, right? So
yeah, I just like try to find like the bit that works best for like the mood that I'm in, and then I go from there.
How do you keep from overcomplicating that process of reconstructing the sample into something that you want it to be?
I try to, again, this is now, I don't think, I haven't always done this, but I try to, like, if I don't have like a solid chop that I can at least like start to build from in 5 minutes, I just move on. You know, there's like, I'm listening to so much. I have so many records. I'm like, you know, going through all these catalogs and stuff. I'm like, if I don't hear something start to come together, I'll like come abandon it completely or like save it, come back to it, you know, tomorrow or something like that. Like I don't hang out with anything for too long anymore because I do have a tendency to just like add. And it's not really like making it sound better or more true to what I'm feeling. It's just like getting complicated for the sake of being complicated. So I just like try to really limit myself to prevent from being my own worst enemy. You know what I mean?
I got you. Yeah, man. Like, don't overcomplicate the process. We all going through it and still do it, man. That's a good way to do it, man. If you ain't got what you need in 5 minutes, just move on to the next one.
I'm not saying I'm making all of my beats in 5 minutes. I'm just like, if there's not a starting point there in 5 minutes, just like walk away.
Gotcha. Yo, are you still using the SP44SX, or are you using a myriad of different things? I see you creating with the Nintendo Switch. I see you creating with like all these different things, man. So. What is Ultra Boy using these days?
I use a lot of different stuff. Right now, I've been using, we built the beat boxes for sample mode. We got, Nas was able to get some from Rhythmo, the company that makes the beatbox. And I was like, I got to assemble a bunch of them with the students, which is really cool. And it's just like, it's a really dope like MIDI controller that you build yourself. It like comes with this little cardboard box that you like house everything in, and it has like arcade buttons, which is super dope. And so I've been using that a lot. I just map it with Ableton or Serato Studio. DiBiase was nice enough to get me a year-long license for Serato Studio, which was really cool. And I've been loving working in there. But I do still use my 404 SX. I have the SX and the OG. I don't have a Mark II yet, but I will at some point. You know, I gotta upgrade. But yeah, man, I use a little mix of all that. I also have a Korg Electribe MX1 that I've been using a lot lately. It's just this old synthesizer and sequencer. It's pretty cool. They actually used it a lot on that Gorillaz album Demon Days that I was talking about earlier. They used this synthesizer on it. It's this cool like big blue box that has like real tubes in it, which is pretty neat.
Wow. Yo, the stuff that they used back in the day and the stuff we're still using now, like it's so much that you can use to create anything, man. Like,
yeah,
create what you want, the sound that you want. Which one of those that you just talked about, which one of those tools that you talked about really like gets the party started when you're trying to create your music?
I really, right now, I think it's still Serato Studio. It's like such an interesting like approach to making music with a computer. Like I think the way they've structured that DAW is like a crazy like jumping off point for anything. Like I usually will finish all of my tracks in Ableton. I've been using that since like 2016 or 17, so it's like the one I'm most familiar with. But yeah, man, Serato Studio just has like all of the tools that you want right at your fingertips as a beat maker and producer. It's like it's all right there as soon as you open it up. So that's been my like, that's been getting me started with everything recently.
Nice, man. Serato Studio. Everybody says like it's a cheat code. It's a game changer.
It is. I mean, it really is.
Man, so okay. So listen, you've been creating music since 2015. Your first album came on Bandcamp in September of 2017. Mm-hmm. It looks like
my it's first Ultra Boy album.
First Ultra Boy album, right? It looks like it's going to rain, and then you just kept releasing. Like it felt like every month for the We got 36 or 37 albums on Bandcamp right now. So, internet, yeah. Man, go check out his discography, man. But I really wanted to talk about Fountain of Dreams.
Yeah,
That is an amazing album from the start all the way to the finish. It's 14 tracks, came out in 2022. You know, it starts off with Woke Up Ill. I think that's Ill.
Yeah.
But can you talk about that album, Fountain of Dreams?
Yeah, that was, that was just so much fun to make. I was just on a good run of like making a lot of beats that I was really happy with. And I was like, this is, December 2022. We're like just over a year in on Flip a Beat Club. I was not there for the very first Flip a Beat Club. I was there for the second one. But you know, it was like, it's been such an amazing thing to be a part of. And I feel like I was in a really good pocket at that time. And I was like, I just was really happy with this batch of beats. And so I like started to put a couple of acapellas on some stuff that I had been working on. Actually, like because of Serato Studio, like I was able to get some acapellas that I couldn't really get otherwise. It was just like, I finished that in like, I don't know, it took me like 2 weeks to make that whole thing, like start to finish. And it just like, I felt like I had a really good like progression of like all of my influences, like past and present. And like, I just had a lot of fun making it, man. It was just like, yeah, that's one of my favorite projects of mine, just because I had such a good time putting it together.
Man. Yo, that drone is a vibe, man. I'm listening to it. I'm like, yo, I gotta ask him about that one. And so then we go to Double, right? So Double came out in March. This is before Dumb Mountain. So I'll ask you about Dumb Mountain next, but Double came out in March, man. 12 tracks. That one is like correct me if I'm wrong. It's kind of like a mixture of like drum and bass, techno-ish type of vibe. Am I off?
Yeah, no, you're spot on. I was like getting really into like breakcore artists like Machine Girl and stuff like that, and I was listening to a bunch of like, you know, just random stuff I could find on SoundCloud with drum and bass and break beats and stuff like that. And so like I've been like into making, you know, more like dance music for a long time. A lot of my older projects have like one or two more dance forward tracks on them, and I just wanted to do something that was like a little bit beats, a little bit more up tempo. And so that was like an exercise for me in like working both sides of that like creativity at the same time and seeing if I could blend them together kind of seamlessly.
Yeah, you did a great job with that album, man. Like,
and that one has the beat that I like play at a lot of shows, because it's like it's the oh shit moment when I throw it on a cold two. Every time I play that one out live, somebody goes, "Yo!"
That's what I was gonna say, man. Yo, that cold two is crazy, yo. I'm glad that they get that you get that reception too, man. When you play your music, because you do a lot of live shows too. So
yeah,
like I had a question before I ask you about the next album. As far as live shows go, like what's the best thing for you, for Ultra Boy, about performing your music live?
Man, it just like, it feels like a huge release for me. Like I feel like being at home making music, especially by yourself, like it's, you know, it's really fulfilling to like do that all the time and get to express myself in that way. But when I'm out and I get to just like share everything with whoever's in front of me, like it's a huge satisfying like release for me. And I think that's like probably why I perform so often, is because I love that feeling of just like, here's what I made, you know, you can like it or not, but I'm going to be up here for the next 15 to 30 minutes doing my thing. And it's nice to just like connect with myself that way. And it's like, it's always nice to get a good reaction from people. I'm not gonna lie and say I don't care what people think, right? But it's just like, Yeah, it's just really satisfying because I feel like even though it is really fulfilling to make music and to create on my own, it's like finally getting to like let it out in front of somebody is like a good way to like put an end cap on it, you know, even though I perform a lot of the same songs like multiple times and they get rotated around. It's like, yeah, it just feels good to be like showing off. It's like show and tell. It's like, here's what I brought. Isn't it cool?
Exactly, yo. That's the way I've been thinking. I only did two shows, man. So you got, I don't know how many, you got maybe 20 shows under your belt right now.
I don't know. I've been doing shows for a long time.
Long time. You probably got more than that, man. So like if you had to give any advice to all the mutants out there that's even thinking about going out and performing their music in front of, you know, whoever, how many people, what's that one piece of advice you would give them?
I mean, it's like, just don't overthink it. You know, it's like, it's the same when you're making beats. Like, don't overthink it. Don't worry about, like, I know I said that I do think about what people think, but don't worry about like how people are going to respond. Just like do the thing that you want to do. Put together your set beforehand and like feel good about that. Like spend all your time making sure that you feel good about the set that you're going to do. And then when you're up there, like don't compromise. You know, it's really easy to start feeling like, man, there's a lot of eyeballs on me. Like maybe I shouldn't go as hard as I was when I was practicing or whatever. It's like just put your whole self into it, even if it might feel a little awkward or like a little cringy at first or whatever. But if you get through that first like minute, which is going to feel like 10 minutes, like you're good. Just like put yourself out there.
That's coming straight from Ultra Boy, man. He been doing this for a while, y'all. So, you know what I mean? That's another jewel, man. So, yo, we gotta talk about the latest release, man.
Yeah.
Dumb Mountain, yo. That title is crazy. That title's crazy, but then the artwork is even crazier. You know what I mean? So.
I love the artwork. My friend M Piper, she's a really incredible artist, and she did the artwork, and she was very patient working with me on like kind of my vision for it, but I also wanted her to do her own thing. So it was like really cool to work with her on that. But it's all her. Like she did this whole thing, and it's really, really incredible artwork.
Man, there's so much happening in the art, man. Like there's, yo, man. Like I can't even. There's like mazes, but then there's, I can't even put my head on it, man. But
Yeah, you
it's
like
so dope.
the Yamcha on there? I mean, it's not really Yamcha, but you know, from Dragon Ball.
Is that at the bottom?
The little red guy?
Where's that? Where's he at?
In like
In the
the
bottom right corner, right? Or is that in the
No,
left?
like kind of middle left.
Okay, I see him. I see
Yeah,
him. Yeah,
yeah. It
man.
wasn't meant to. She's like, she doesn't watch Dragon Ball, but I just saw that. I was like, oh, that's Yamcha.
So okay, obviously you're a Dragon Ball fan.
Yeah.
Obviously, okay, got you, man. Yeah, I didn't watch Dragon. I watched one episode and I couldn't get into it, but I might have to revisit the old school Dragon Balls
It's
before I
one of
get
those,
this.
I do think it's like one of those things that's kind of hard to get into if you weren't into it as a kid. Like, I think a lot of it that makes it hold up is the nostalgia factor. But like, I still like watching Dragon Ball, so.
I got you. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with it, man. Yo, but those are the, like, obviously, those are the classics. I mean, there's
Yeah.
a million other ones that are out there as well, but that one holds a special place into the you know, the people that watch that show. There's
Yeah.
something about it that's like, man, that's my shit. That's my cartoon.
Yeah.
Or anime, rather. I say, I don't go disrespect internets. I go
Nah, you're
disrespect this.
good. You're good.
Yo, but yo, okay, so Dumb Mountain, man, came out in June of this year, man. So
Yep.
is this your debut as far as you with your lyrics and you singing and hooks and stuff like that?
No, I mean I've done projects like this before. Like I had Dougie's Place in 2020. I was singing on most of those songs. Dot Image, which came out like maybe the year before or 2 years before that. So I've like, I've done this before, but it's been, yeah, like over 3 years since I've put out a project where I'm like writing lyrics and singing and like doing all the production on my own, like recording my own bass, guitar, drums, all that stuff, and like putting that together. So it's like it's my comeback album.
Yo, man, like Grind Shrine, Little Dog. When you sang Little Dog, I love it. Like, oh, I was like,
that was so wild. I didn't like, I mean, I love that song, but I didn't expect that to be like a song that like the first, I did a show the day it came out. We did a Flip a Beat Friday at Soul Collective here in Sacramento. Shout out to Soul Collective. But I like told some people that I was going to be performing some of the Dumb Mountain songs, and like three people were like, "Hey, you're going to do that Little Dog song?" I'm like, what?
Wow. Yo, they know.
They know.
Yeah, man. Yo, this whole album, right? I mean, this is just my personal opinion. This whole album, it's emotional, man. It's emotional, but it feels good at the same time, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like what went into your mindset while you were creating this album?
Man, it was a crazy process. So it took me like about 8 months to write, record, and like mix and master this album. And you know, over that time, like I'm engaged right now. I was engaged over the whole process of making the album. So I was like, a lot of this is about my fiance. I was having a lot of feelings of like wanting to get back to, you know, writing and singing, but a lot of it is about like imposter syndrome, like feeling like I don't have the chops to be doing this kind of stuff. Like, why am I even trying to get back to this type of music? And a lot of it's about, you know, insecurity and anxiety. And, you know, I have had struggles with depression in the past. A lot of it's about that. But I also like, I love, you know, not uplifting, but like I love upbeat music. And so there's like trying to like keep some of that like nice, mellow kind of vibe to it too, that I was like trying to keep present. And I got super into some like dream pop acts. Like I love like Men I Trust and like Mitski and stuff like that. So I was like getting into that and mixing that influence with all of the like beats I've been making over the last few years. So it's just like a big mishmash of like a lot of different ways. And it's like, I tried to keep every song like as honest as I could. And so I think that's like where that emotion kind of comes through. You know what I mean?
Yo, man. Yo, I'm clapping it up for you. Like, yo, you did your thing on this album.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Man, like, yo, we need, like, yo, I'll help you raise money so we get this on vinyl or cassette.
Like, I would love to do a vinyl release for this. That would be super cool.
Man, that is, it's an amazing album. So, internets, man, y'all need to go to ultraboy.bandcamp.com, man, or just check out his link tree. I'm going to link everything in the description of the show anyway. So how to get to him, his social, his link tree, where his music can be found, stuff like that. Yo, everything's going to be in the description. So just scroll down as you're listening to the show, if you can. And just go down the rabbit hole with Ultra Boy, man, because he got something, man. This is, man, I want to say, and I don't want to ever compare, but as I listen to music, I feel like a lot of artists are like releasing that. I don't want to express this type of emotion. They're just releasing that and saying, fuck it. Whatever I'm experiencing, I'm going to write it down in a song and I'm going to express it. And yeah, if people catch it, they catch it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that like, I definitely have gotten that from a lot of like recent releases from people, which is really cool. And like, I think my particular style is like things don't make sense unless you like want them to make sense. You know, like, mm-hmm, I feel like right. A lot of my lyrics are like weird bullshit, but like, if you resonate with it, then it makes sense.
Right. And you're not creating for anybody else but you. So it's kind of, it's whatever you are expressing or experiencing, and it's into the music, man. So
yeah, and I do think a lot of people are doing that right now.
Exactly. Yeah, man. So, man, I got a couple more questions for you, man.
Like, yeah.
I always have, like, every time I do an interview, man, I have like 30, 40 questions, but I can't ask all of them. You know? So,
hey, it's good to be prepared.
Yeah, man. So, okay, listen, you got, you have Flip a Beat Club over there in Sacramento that you're a part of well. And, but then you have your own thing as well. It's called Blips and Beats, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Blips and Beats is a Flip a Beat Club event, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I always see everybody from Flip a Beat Club there anyway. So
yeah,
I wasn't sure if it was the same or if it was a separate thing.
Yeah, but I think it's in the umbrella, you know.
I got you. So Blips and Beats, for everybody that don't know, and if you're in the Sacramento area, the California area, listen up, man. So Blips and Beats is what, Ultra Boy?
Blips and Beats is an event we host online and in person here in Sacramento at a store called 1UP Retro Video Games in Midtown Sacramento. Myself and DiBiase are the hosts. We post a video game sample from a game that he or I picks out beforehand. We give everybody in the Flip a Beat Club Discord a heads up, or anybody that's coming in person, they get the sample. We send it to them to download. We have a channel for that in the Discord, and people download it. They flip their sample, they post it on social media and tag us, and they post it in that Discord channel. And then live at the event, we have people do beat sets. We have usually like one fighting game set up, and then we have one other game. Sometimes like people do speed runs. Sometimes they're just like playing through and talking about a game, but we have a couple game setups. And then DiBiase and I listen to all of the submissions from the people that are there and from the people that posted in the Discord. And we just like talk about them, say what we like, what we didn't like, you know, what was cool about how they flipped the sample. And yeah, man, we just hang out, talk about video games, listen to video game music, and yeah, try to involve the local and international beat scene as much as we can in that.
And speaking of that, right, the next Blips and Beats is, let me think, is that a monthly event?
It's monthly-ish. We don't have the next one scheduled as of right now, but it's just kind of like, As soon as DB and I can work it into our schedules, we set up another one. You know what I mean?
I got you. Yeah, I was thinking Bikes and Beats. My bad.
No, that's, yeah. Thursday. Yeah, I know people won't be hearing this before, but I'm performing at Bikes and Beats tomorrow.
Yo, man, you a busy man, yo. You doing podcasts.
I know. Yeah, I'm doing this podcast. I did a podcast with Audio Arcade. That's not out yet. I don't know when that's coming out, but they were super nice homies over in the UK, which was cool chatting with them. Yeah, man, I'm doing a bunch of shows. I got that show tomorrow, and then I'm going to Vegas to elope next week, and then I'm getting married on September 9th. So I got it all going on, man.
Yo, you got a lot going on, man. And then you got Waveform that, yep, you're about to perform at Friday?
Yeah, Waveform is Flip a Beat Club does at Neck of the Woods every second Friday of the month, and that's in San Francisco.
Man, listen, Ultra Boy is crazy busy, man, so you may tap into what he's doing right now, man.
I just don't want to say no to anything, you know.
Right. It's right, it's opportunities, man.
Like,
yeah man, I feel the same way. I definitely feel the same way, but at the same time, it definitely can be tiresome.
Yeah,
doing so much, but
it does, you know, it does get that way. But it's like, I just like, I love doing this stuff so much, and it's like, it feels so good and it's so fulfilling. And so I'm like, you know, I'll trade being a little tired for getting to do what I love to do all the time.
Favorite Nintendo Switch game?
Ooh, that's tough. I would say, I mean, it's hard not to say the new Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. I've like already put like 100 hours into that game. It's so good.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I like Sonic Mania is a great game. I know for people that follow me online, you're probably aware that I'm a huge Sonic the Hedgehog fan. But yeah, man, I think it's like it's hard not to give it to Tears of the Kingdom right now because I'm so obsessed with that game.
I'm ordering cheese like that. I need that game right now.
So yeah. I'm like, yeah.
Like, all right, I got you. Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah. Nintendo keeps it fun. That's yeah. a good thing.
I'm gonna there's this great arcade style game called Wind Jammers on the Switch. That's like it's like a 16-bit like competitive frisbee game. It's like a one-on-one like frisbee like arcade game. It's a super weird concept, but it's super fun. So that's like a good unique pull for the Switch, I think.
Gotcha. Okay, top five beat makers, music producers, and they ain't gotta be the top names either. It could be your contemporaries that you're with right now. And no genres off limits.
Man, you put me on the spot.
I got to.
Okay. I mean, just like I'm going to go way past top five, but I'm just going to start listing people. Obviously, DiBiase, a legend. Like, at every chance, I got to give DB his flowers. Monzrock, who's like basically our leader at Flip a Beat Club, he's like an incredible beat maker, an incredible guy. His work ethic is insane. I got to give it up to De La Hoya, B-Wit, Oh Ricky, Taquan. I mean, everybody. Drive the Hearse, my co-host on the Midday Mix, of course, incredible, incredible producer. People I'm into right now, like Little Sims is a huge, like she's unstoppable right now. Like everything she does is crazy good. Yeah, man. I mean, that's just top of my head. I'm super into this group, Mind Shrine. They're like a really cool little like indie rock kind of collective that I really like. All the stuff that like Benny Sings is doing, is super dope. That's like a big influence. Shout out to Bay native Larry June, like huge, huge guy in my life right now. Not personally, but just like listening to. Yeah, man. Dan Reeder, old folk artist that I like. He's still around, which is cool. Zach Fox is the big influence on me right now. Man, Nate Curry is doing amazing things. That Tight Knit EP is crazy. I've been listening to that that old Edwin Starr song, War. I don't know. I just listen to that like 5 times a day right now.
It's a good song, man.
It's a great song.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that was more than five, but
it's yeah, we always go. I don't even know why I put a limit on it. No more, I'm gonna take that off the questions. Okay, last two questions before we let
all right,
you go.
Cool, man. Cool.
If you can, what's the one thing you wish you knew before you started on your own music journey?
Man, I would say, that's tough. Give me a minute. Give me a second. Give me
I got
a
you.
Second.
I got you. I got you.
I wish I knew that it was worth it to take the time to do things right. You know, I think I took a lot of like little shortcuts in like recording or like the little, you know, pieces of gear I was picking up. And I think now, having been, you know, been producing for as long as I have and been making music for as long as I have, I think it's really worth it to wait and save up a little bit more or pick the right time and just like be a little bit more intentional, you know. And I think I wish I would have known that was like always the better way.
That's a jewel right there. So listen, Ultra Boys here. Last question, Ultra Boy, man. How can the internet get in contact with you, tap into what you're doing, any events you might have coming out? You know, Flipper B Club, you associated with as well, man. The new album, Dumb Mountain, is out. Go ahead, plug all of that, man.
Yeah. Thank you. So I got a Linktree, just Linktree/Ultra Boy. I'm on Bandcamp. I'm on SoundCloud. I'm on every streaming platform, usually like Apple Music, Spotify, all that. If you search Ultra Boy, I'm usually the first one, which is really helpful. Bandcamp, I'm up there too, which is nice. Ultra Boy with 3 underscores on Instagram. I got off of X because I just got annoyed. I'm not on there anymore. But I'm on Threads. I have a Twitch channel too, Ultra Boy. I do every Thursday. I got the midday mix with Drive the Hearse. We talked about that before. I have been a little absent from some of the Flip a Beat Club events because, like I said, I'm getting married. I got a lot of planning and prep to do for that. But I'm usually at any Flip a Beat Club event you pull up to. So, you know, if you ever see me out there, you know, never hesitate to come up. I always love like chopping it up and meeting new people and finding new people to work with. But yeah, man, Ultra Boy, Dumb Mountain is out everywhere right now. Please give it a listen. Give it the time. I'm really proud of it. So that's what I want people to do right now.
Yo, you heard him, man. Y'all better go check out Dumb Mountain, man. Support Dumb Mountain, that album on Bandcamp. Man, it goes a long way. Buy the album, then stream that joint. All right?
Yeah.
Stream it crazy, man, so we can make more music.
Yeah.
You know
and
what I mean?
Follow me on Bandcamp so I can use their like vinyl printing program. You have to have a certain amount of followers. So just follow me on Bandcamp so I can print some vinyl.
Right, yo, that's the move. That's what we're gonna do, man. So listen, Ultra Boy, any final thoughts for the internet as we wrap up?
Man, final thoughts. Listen to the Rec Show, dummy.
You heard? Yo, man.
I just appreciate it, man. I appreciate all the love, and I just like hope I can reciprocate it out to everybody.
Gotcha, man. That's Ultra Boy, man. Listen, he's a DJ, he's a beat maker, he's a live performer, man. He's up at UC Berkeley, man. He's up at Blips and Beats. He's at Flipper Beat Club. He's getting married soon, like. He's in Vegas. He's in California. He's all over the place, man.
Catch him. I'm everywhere.
He's everywhere, man. He's out here, man. But, yo, I want to thank you for your time, man. Thank you for creating your music, having the fortitude to keep pushing your music out there as well, man. I know sometimes for musicians it gets hard to keep putting stuff out there if they're not getting no love. But, yo, I'm going to find y'all, man. I got Cerebro on. Cerebro's on my head, you know what I mean?
Yes,
I'm trying
sir.
To find y'all, man. So I want to say thank you for your time, man. Yo, you about to get married, so yo, that's a different that's a life-changing event right there, man.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
I wish you peace and blessings, man, and keep doing your thing. I'm tapped in. I'm supporting you and what you're doing as far as musically. And I wish you peace and love in your marriage as well, you know, as you first start out. So
thank you, man. That means a lot. And thank you so much for having me. I really am a huge fan of the Rec Show. So it's an honor to be on here, man. I really appreciate you and what you're doing.
And so that is the episode number 104 with Ultra Boy, man. Yo, amazing conversation. Yo, that's what we do on this show, man. We bringing y'all the people that, you know what I mean, are doing some amazing things in beat culture, on the music scene, in their local community. You know what I mean? I guess that's my way of like paying it forward, but either way, I'm proud of y'all, man. Keep doing y'all thing out there. I got Cerebro on, man, so I'm trying to find y'all. You know what I mean? And if I do, and if you want to be on the show, man, I'm always open to it, man. I still have some dates
in November, December of 2023, man. So if you want to get on before the year's out, you got to let me know ASAP, man. So we can lock down a date and be dope. Be dope, man. Be yourself. Like, yo, if you being somebody else, yo, that's not what we looking for. Yo, we look for mutants, man. That's out of the box. Can't be boxed in. Don't sound like nobody else. You know, they're their own selves. Yeah, man. I'm out of here, man. I'm rambling, yo. But y'all, hope y'all enjoy this, man. Run this back. Share this on your socials. Clicking the link in the links in the description of the show. Go to the Rex Show podcast IG page. Check out all the previous episodes with all of the guests, man. And yeah, man, I'm gonna see y'all next week on another episode of the Rex Show podcast. Happy birthday, hip hop, man. You helped save my life, yo. Peace and love,
peace
yo.
Peace and love, yo.
Flip beat plug volume 7.
Flip a beat.
Yeah, you know me.
Get down with
flip a beat.
Yeah, you know me.
Get down with
flip a beat.
Yeah, you know me.
Who's down with
flip a beat? We'll be right back.
represent every living person on the planet. The white lights are humans. And these are the mutants.
They tell like younger kids or other producers like, that's cheating. You can't really be sad, but bro, like when it comes to this producing shit, you can do whatever you want.
You've been listening to the Rec Show podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Remember three things: believe in your music, take care of your mentals, become the best version of yourself. Until the next one, Golden Mind signing off. Peace and love, yo.
Be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.
These young boys getting better. This is not like the NBA when you can retire. Like, this is, you have to keep going.